executive director of the Liberty Tree Foundation. And add a little role in this. And before we get started with the rest of our program tonight, I would like to ask Dotsa Zeps to please come back up here. Is Dotsa here? And little hidden object here on the mayor's feet. Dotsa, this is not nearly enough appreciation. It doesn't express the appreciation that I feel for all the work that you've done in the convention. Dotsa works not only as an event planner, but also as organizing staff for Progressive Dane, a local political party. She's a leader in her neighborhood association. Like me, she's a veteran of Madison's West Side. If there's anybody who is a West High School grad here in the house, West Side Pride. Dotsa, thank you so much. Please, every chance you get, please thank me and your awesome banker for the work that you did. Dotsa Zeps is officially the convention manager, and I know that she is going to be organizing another conference featuring one of our speakers in the coming year as well, so keep her in mind. I also want to thank people who are videotaping today. The media was pulled together simply in the last week. So these are all folks who stepped forward on very short notice and really appreciate the work that you're doing. Please give them a round of applause. And thank you to all the volunteers. Everybody has volunteered who has yet to volunteer. Whoever is going to volunteer couch space tonight. For the two people who I believe are still looking for a place to stay, talk to the folks at the registration desk, and really thank you to all of you. It is my pleasure to introduce somebody who for me, and I think probably for many who are from Wisconsin, was an icon before he became a person. My mother was a teacher. She's still a teacher. I come from a family of teachers. It's the greatest profession on earth. I'm sorry, doctors and nurses. Teachers are sacred. And she made me watch The War at Home at least 50 times by the time I got to high school because she had to prepare her lesson plans. And in that film, famously, for those who don't know, this is a documentary, a fantastic documentary about how small town Madison, Wisconsin became the radical hotbed that it became in the 1960s. Regular people becoming regular, incredible people. You will see footage of this gentleman being beaten by the police. And as a young person, I thought that was really cool. Later on, I discovered it wasn't very cool. I don't think he thought it was very cool. When he ran for mayor in 1989, I volunteered on his campaign. And I will say that when he ran for mayor this latest time, there was a little series of events beginning on February 13th. February 11th. The governor decided that he was going to declare war on the working class in Wisconsin. And it was a mistake on his part, I'm sure he'll live to learn that. And then 2 days later, 4 days later, there was a major rally at the state capitol. But what has not been reported in most of the media is that, in fact, the very next day, on February 12th, there was a march led by the Teaching Assistants Association, AFT 3220, on the state capitol. And true to his roots, Paul Sahlgren was there marching with the TAA. And he was here every day, and some night at the state capitol with us as we fought to, as the Call for Peace troop reminded us, to move forward and not backward. Please welcome a person, not just an icon, Mayor Paul Sahlgren.
Thank you, Ben, and thank you and Sarah for all the work that you have done, not just for this event, but really to strengthen Madison and Wisconsin. Now, just a big thank you again. Art, Theresa, Dawn, who helped produce, she did, right? Who helped produce the dance. Thank you so much. I can't tell you the respect and the feeling that you convey to all of us in regards to the honoring of your heritage and to the belief of the goodness and the peace that should envelop all of us. Thank you again. I'm going to do something I've never done before. I don't know if this is going to work or not. Everybody, please stand. Everyone. Now, I know that among you there's some overachievers. Okay? All right. All the union thugs, sit down. All the out-of-state agitators, sit down. All, come on, we got more to go. There's more. All of the teachers, sit down. All of the religious leaders who truly believe in peace, sit down. All the media agitators, sit down. Now the fun starts. All the folks who've been arrested, who have not yet sat down, you sit down. Yeah, a little amateur. Everyone who has run for public office and plotted against the government, sit down. Everyone who has not run for public office and plotted against the government, sit down. All right, I want to know who the hell the rest of you are. I've discovered, and this is really more about urban geography and culture, that it's the scoundrels, it is the pirates, those are the folks. It's those are the folks who create. Those are the folks who give inspiration. Not to say that those of you who aren't lawyers and accountants contributed, but here in Wisconsin, it's been an interesting 6 months. It's been a 6 months that we should never have had. It's a 6 months that is reflective of what happens when we don't pay attention and we allow people to make statements repeatedly that are untrue. Yes. Cutting taxes does not build an economy. Yes. Cutting taxes does not create jobs. And when we look at the history of this nation, when we look internationally through time, we've come to learn that the proper public investment in infrastructure and human capacity is what builds not just strong economies, but strong societies. Some of us may disagree with some of the examples, but in our nation's history, whether it was the Erie Canal, whether it was the opening of the West with the railroads, whether it was the Interstate Highway System, which was part of the National Defense Act, or it was the GI Bill. If we look internationally after World War II, what two nations had the strongest economies? The two nations that took the largest part of their gross national product and put it into education and infrastructure. the best thing that happened to Germany and Japan was to lose the war, for us to force them to shed a standing army. And they didn't know what to do with their money. Actually, they did. They put it into education, they put it into infrastructure. When you look historically at the United States, and there is nothing better than the two examples I just cited, the National Defense Act and the GI Bill. We see this unprecedented growth in our own economy. When I'm teaching the public budgeting class to graduate students at the University of Wisconsin, I remind them that after the county highway comes the interstate. And when the interstate highway comes in, you find yourself with an interchange. And the next thing you know, you've got a Cracker Barrel. And then comes a mobile gas station. And then comes the strip shopping mall. And eventually comes Macy's, Lord & Taylor, and the rest of them. Why our governor doesn't understand that is beyond me. Now maybe he's drawn a different line in the sand, and with some of us who are saying, well, yes, we want to grow businesses, but those aren't the ones we want to grow. But the point is, we've learned through history several things. The first of which, to repeat it, investment in infrastructure, investment in human capacity is what grows a society. The second thing is we have to forever remain vigilant, and we cannot rest and assume that others are going to take care of our society. Now, let's go back to those couple of months here in Madison, in the Capitol. I just want to recount something. It's a message I would like to share with the governor. Madison, Wisconsin is one of those special places that when 100,000 people show up for a parade, whereas in most societies, in most communities, you would have 99,000 watching and 1,000 parading, in Madison, it's 99,000 marching, and you're lucky if you get a couple of dozen who are going to be observing. We were in the middle of this mayoral race, and I quickly figured out that while it was fun at times to be in the parade and to march around, the better thing to do was to stand on the curb all alone and wave to 100,000 people. It gave me a wonderful opportunity to meet the folks that had come down to petition their government. Within 15 minutes, two women came up. One said, I was a student at Edgewood College in 1967, and we were in the National Student Association together. Another woman, 15 minutes later, says, I'm from La Crosse. In 1968, I was a student at Edgewood College. We were in the National Student Association together. Now, this went on week after week, day after day, hour after hour. People from Ashland, from Sturgeon Bay, from Greene County, from Green Lake County, obviously the city of Milwaukee, constantly saying, I'm here, some very apologetic. One woman said she hadn't voted in over 30 years. And this was her way of doing penance. There were the electrical engineers who showed up from Chicago. There were some Teamsters that came in from Ohio. There were members of my daughter's union, the Screen Actors Guild, who came in from Los Angeles. There were some agitators from New York. Altogether on those 100,000 day weekends, they didn't amount to more than 500, 1,000 of the folks. Governor Walker, those were your people out there. That was responsible. We are grateful for all of state educators. But the point is, this is about Wisconsin, and the thing that I found most offensive about what happened during this period is that we constantly heard the mantra that Wisconsin public employees have the highest health insurance and the highest retirement benefits in the United States. And you want to know something? It's true. But what wasn't said was their salaries were among the lowest. And that the cost of these public employees was among the lowest in the United States. And that in fact, if you look at the Census Bureau data about the 10 to 12 states that have the lowest per capita cost of employees who are members, who have the cost of employees in the public sector, among those states are Illinois, Pennsylvania, California, Wisconsin, states with strong public employee unions. The people of those states are getting a bargain. They are getting quality. They are getting fewer public employees doing more and better work. And we cannot let that go unanswered. That has to be repeated over and over and over again. And that is how we welcome you to our state. One final word. It's about Tom Hayden. Tom and I, our paths have crossed many times over the years. We've been to so many conferences, so many different events. One of the most significant times that we met was in 1968. It was a few days, well, I won't tell you what days it was. It was in Manhattan, Kansas. Tom was on his way from the West, you were coming from the West Coast, right, Tom?
No, I thought I was coming from Soviet Union.
And he was on his way to Chicago. And you know why he was going to Chicago. So he was there speaking to those of us who were convening at the National Student Association that year, urging us to come to Chicago. Now, some of you may recall that in subsequent months, Tom got charged with all kinds of conspiracy events. He faced some very serious charges, along with a good deal of other very respectable pirates and scoundrels. And part of the charges were stemmed on, I guess, crossing interstate lines, right? Yep. Tom, it's a good thing they didn't call me to testify. Tom was energetic, he was moving, he was inspirational, and when they brought up that trial and made accusations about Tom and what he had done, they really brought the wrong charges. He should have been charged with inspiring the youth. That's what he was guilty of. And he's been doing it ever since. And as I look at those of you who gathered here today, he's still inspiring the youth, every one of you. Thanks for coming. Have a great day.
How many of you would like a mayor like that?